what comes next? Because often when we know what's been in the past, we sometimes know what's coming next. It's a sequence of events. And we're going to be thinking a little bit more about that this morning, whether we rely on history or something else to look towards the future. We're going to be doing that by looking at, of course, at our next reading in the book of Hebrews, excuse me, which comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 7 to 12. And this is going to be read from church. Let me mute you all, and then Dave will have to unmute church. It's all right. Excellent.
Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. But by his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. I believe it was Cheryl who's doing the reading from church. Thank you very much for that. We're going to be looking, of course, at this next section in the Great Hall of Faith, which we began last week. I've got a challenge for you. For those of you who like to be doing something while you're listening, the challenge this week is to create, make, draw, write down something that helps you to trust or have faith in God. So get your Lego out, Play-Doh, Fimo, bits of wood, nails, whatever you've got. Create something that helps you to trust or have faith in God while we think about this part of our reading. You know, up until last year, for as long as I can remember, the London Marathon has always taken place on or near this Sunday, today. It began on the 29th of March, 1981. But for almost 40 years since then, barring a handful of dates in May, it has taken place in April. And because of its consistency over the years, whether we've had great interest in the marathon or not, we have known that when we get to April, the marathon will happen at some point. Now, for some of us, that would mean that we would watch it on television. We'd put it on early, we'd watch the elite races, and then we'd watch the mass crowds. Whereas others of us would maybe catch the highlights. We'd look at all the fancy dress and what people were raising money for. Or we'd read about it later, it had happened. For some of us, we would probably pretend that it didn't happen. But whatever we did, the London Marathon was a part of our life routine. It was there, year upon year upon year. We knew it would happen because it always happened as it had always happened before. And therefore, it was part of our history. It was a sequence we followed. And the same could be said for a lot of things, including the boat race. Oh, by the way, what a great result in the boat race this year. Also, the Eurovision Song Contest, the Olympic Games, these things that came round year upon year upon year, as well as those things that we would do in our own lives, like holidays, family gatherings, birthday parties, anniversaries, many, many things that had happened in the past and we knew would happen in the future because they always had. A bit like our quiz, they fit into the sequence of life. So we could guess what would come next and what time it would happen. And because of this, because things always happen, we would have confidence in the future. Of course, we would always say, oh, we cannot tell what the future holds. But in our hearts of hearts, we sort of believe that, you know, you generally could. And so we would plan accordingly, filling our diaries with things we assumed we would do because we had always done them. But then, of course, as we're all very aware, in the early months of 2020, COVID-19 hit. And all our sequences and our formulas about life, all our assumptions about what we could do, what we couldn't do, what we knew would happen, all our belief in the future based on the past we had lived, went out the window. And to a certain extent, it still has. We now cannot assume that events like the London Marathon will take place in April because they didn't last year. It's not this year. We cannot assume the boat race will take place in central London or near London We cannot assume we will be able to book a holiday and go on it without any cancellation that is beyond our control, because life has changed. And in many ways, we're in uncharted waters. Life is unfamiliar. We can no longer rely on the sequence of history to comfort us and to guide us into the future. And in many ways, this is where our characters in the Great Hall of Faith found themselves in today's reading. Noah, Abraham, and Sarah. People who were asked to step out into the unknown rather than rely on history as a guide. Noah, of course, first appears in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis. His story, set in and among an ever-corrupt world, begins with the words, "Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God." From these words, we know straight away that he was a man who knew God, someone who sought to live in the ways that God desired, which at the time in which he lived on earth stood out as different to those around him. He's not surrounded by others who live in similar ways, and so he didn't necessarily have people to support and encourage him in his walk with God. But he kept going, walking faithfully day after day. And yet in the Great Hall of Faith, Noah is not remembered or commended for his daily walk with God. This is not the thing his life is held up for. Rather, he's commended for his faithful walk into an unknown future. Hebrews 11 says, "By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family." Or if you like, Noah, when warned about the impending flood that was to come upon the earth, and when told by God to build an ark on dry land, instead of thinking this couldn't be done, because it had never been done before, he got to work. Or as Genesis says, Noah did everything just as God commanded him, despite the fact that there was no overwhelming rainfall when he started to build, or there was no precedent set, which meant boats were built just in case the world was to flood one day. There was no history of an event like this ever taking place before. And yet Noah stepped out in faith and decided to take the risk. And because of this, he not only saved his family and subsequently the human race, but he became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Or as the Message Bible phrases it, as a result of this great step of faith, Noah became intimate with God. And likewise, Abraham, that great man of faith himself, is commended here in the book of Hebrews, firstly for his ability to step into the unknown, just like Noah. If we look at Genesis chapter 12, of course, we see the full story, the story of a man who, having lived his life with his family in Haran, is suddenly confronted by God and asked to leave, to go to from his country, from his people, from his father's household, and to journey to a land that God will show him, to Canaan, the land where the city of God would be situated. Before he leaves, Abraham received God's promise, "I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you," said God. "I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Abraham is given a promise and asked to leave his family home. But apart from that, he knew nothing. He didn't know where he was going to end up. He didn't know what the future would hold. He didn't have a clue how this great nation would come about if he left his father's house. There was no history of this kind of event in his family, and no precedent of setting out into the unknown on the word of God alone. And yet Abraham went. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And eventually they settled there, waiting for God's next step, looking forward to the offspring that would begin this great nation, and looking towards the city that God had promised. Of course, as we know, there was a long, long wait and great moments of doubt and some wrong before Sarah was able to birth Isaac. And Abraham and Sarah never did see the promised city of God. But because they were willing to step into the unknown, from this one man, and he as good as dead, the Bible says, came the descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Because you see, Abraham and Sarah and Noah took the chance to step boldly into an unknown future, one that was not backed by past experience or a previous sequence of events, but one that was new, different, and totally unknown. And in so doing, they boldly lived the life that God had called them to live, Which is interesting, because in a time when family traditions meant you followed the pattern of previous generations and people rarely deviated from known ways of living, in a time when boats were built near bodies of water rather than in the middle of vast dry ground, it would take quite a commitment for Noah and Abraham and Sarah to decide to suddenly step boldly into the unknown and live radically different lives to those who had gone before or those who lived around them. And yet they did. And it seems the reason they did was because before they took these bold steps of faith, before Noah built a boat and Abraham and Sarah uprooted their family, they had contact with God to the point that they felt they could trust him. Noah, as we mentioned, was known as someone who walked faithfully with God. Clearly he knew God. He was familiar with the one who had created the world and created him. And Abraham and Sarah, although not mentioned as people who followed God before this adventure, had nevertheless received a promise. God promised to make them into a great nation. He had promised there was a future for them, something beyond the unknown that they were stepping into. Or if you like, before Noah built a boat and Abraham and Sarah took their family, God had made himself known so that they knew something of his character, of his promises, of his future. And not only did they know something of God, but more importantly, they then chose to trust what they knew of him rather than the history they had been living in up to this point. And you know, it strikes me as we face a future that is also unknown, one that doesn't and may never again follow the history that has gone before, that we would do well to take note of the likes of Noah and Abraham and Sarah. People who learned to trust what they knew of God and his promises rather than the history they had always lived from. So that as life is uncertain and we no longer have the sequence of history to comfort us and to guide us, we don't simply take a punt at how we should live life, you know, hoping it will all turn out okay. We don't hide away in the hope that things will go back to normal someday and then we'll start living again. We don't panic and stress and flounder and try to create a way of living. But instead, we trust God for our unknown future, which means, of course, just like Noah and Abraham and Sarah, we need to know enough of God to do this. We can't just rely on what others have told us or what we've learned years ago, but we need to take time to know for ourselves God's promises, his stories, his son, Jesus Christ, and to remind ourselves of these again and again and again so that we can trust him no matter what happens in our future. You know, N.T. Wright, the former Bishop of Durham, says this: it's not great faith you need, it is faith in a great God. It's not great faith you need, it's faith in a great God. And just like Noah and Abraham and Sarah, we, of course, have a great God. He has not changed. This is not in doubt. What can be in question, though, is whether we know enough of him. And in knowing enough of him, whether we can then trust him for our future, above and beyond the history in which we now live. Let's pause for a moment as we think about the lives that Noah and Abraham and Sarah lived, the example that they are to us today. And as we do that, we're going to pray together. As we come towards the end of our official time together, we're going to sing together again. We're going to sing, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I will trust in you alone." A challenge for your week, create something which helps you to trust, to have faith in God. Or maybe look back on some of the promises that God has given that can remind us of his faithfulness and how we can trust him for the future. Because as N.T. Wright says, it's not great faith you need, it is faith in a great God. So as we go throughout this week, as we continue in our walk with him, whatever the news says, whatever the future holds, may we be able to trust in the God who created us, who made us, who loves us, and who gave his life. And may God bless us and keep us and walk with us always. Amen.
Amen.